Last week we talked about the church, and we discussed together the church that, the church that Jesus built. We talked about Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, where Christ said, "I will build my church." And we found out that the word church comes from the Greek ekklesia, which means literally an assembly. And of course, a called out assembly is the New Testament usage. But in the New Testament, the word is used in two distinct senses. One of them is in the universal sense, that is the company of souls redeemed by the blood of Christ, and the church local, which talks about Christians in a local area or geographical area that band themselves together as a congregation of God's people. Now, our understanding of the nature of the church is important for us to be able to contrast the church universal and the church local, noting how the New Testament carefully delineates between the two, and that we have a definite difference in the definition of the local church and the church universal. A failure, to observe the distinction between the church universal and the church local leads people into erroneous concepts of the church. They lead to one to presenting a confusing picture of the church in evangelistic efforts. So in the lesson this morning, and also the one to follow, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, I want to notice ways in which the church universal is different from the church local. Now, first of all, we're going to look at the church in the universal sense. The church in the universal sense is composed of all Christians. This is the church to which Jesus referred in Matthew 16 and verse 18. "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." It's made up of all of the saved, both living and dead. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 12. That's Hebrews 12, verse 22. Down through verse 24. "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." We can see that the church in the universal sense refers to all the saved. Now, in the universal sense, there is no doubt that there is only one church. Remember that the universal church is called the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. "God put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body." What is his body? The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And we know that there is only one body. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're told there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. So, how many bodies are there? There's only one. And how many churches are there? Well, there's only one church. Not many churches, but only one church. Now, the church universal had its beginning on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It followed from Jerusalem, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that we read about in Acts chapter 2 and down through verse 47. But Peter later referred to this day, and he called this as this day the beginning. He referred to it as the beginning. Look at Acts 11:15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of what? Well, that's when the church began. It was the beginning. Now, the church universal is entered only by being added by the Lord. One cannot join the church, but rather they are added by the Lord himself. Look at Acts 2 and verse 41. This is in the context of when the gospel was first preached now. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now skip on down to verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who did the adding? The Lord did the adding. Who did he add? He added the saved to the church. Now, in keeping with that principle, we see that the Lord also keeps the books of membership. A lot of people think that there's an agency on earth that keeps the records of everybody who's a member of the universal church. But that's not so. The enrollment is in heaven. Only the Lord knows those who are truly his. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 23, where we read a moment ago, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. Registered in heaven. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 told Timothy, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So, we have the registry of all the saved. Where? It's kept in heaven. Just because your name is on the registry for some church somewhere doesn't mean that your name is registered in heaven. The church, in the universal sense, consists of all the saved. And as such, the Lord is presenting to himself a church that is holy and without blemish. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul parallels here the relationship between the husband and the wife and the church and Christ. Ephesians 5 and verse 25 is where I want to begin. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Those who are part of the church are those who don't go about sinning on a regular basis. That is not their practice. And those in the church who go on sinning and refuse to repent are indeed cut off, cast out, and spewed out. We'll see what that we mean by that in John 15 and verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. John 15 and verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Romans 11, 19 through 22. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. That is, the Jewish people were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. Otherwise, also, you will be cut off. And finally, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, so then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I think we pretty well covered. But note, we must be in the church universal in order to be saved. Think about this for a moment. The Lord is the Savior of the body. What did Ephesians 5:23 say? Which is his church. Since the Lord adds one to his church whenever he's saved, one cannot be saved outside of the church universal. That's just as simple as I know how to put it. Simple as I know how to put it. But someone says, well, that's confusing because I don't understand what the church universal is. Because the church universal doesn't have any earthly organization. The church universal does have organization, though. Did you know that? The church has organization. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Yeah, Ephesians 2 and 19, that's right. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Also look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. You as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What organization there is of the church exists in the spiritual realm, not the material. Christ is the cornerstone, together with his apostles and prophets as the foundation, and all Christians are living stones. There is no earthly headquarters for the church, no telephone number to call and speak with the head of the church. None whatsoever. He is in heaven. Thus, the church in a universal sense cannot be divided. There is no earthly organization to divide. If division appears to exist, some unscriptural organization of churches must have been created. Such an organization can have division, but the Lord's church in the universal sense cannot be divided. Those who would seek to divide the church through doctrine and conduct and so forth are simply cut off by the Lord himself as we just read a few moments ago. There is and always will be one body. And we need to make sure that we remain faithful to be sure that we're in it. Death does not affect membership in the Church Universal. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the Church Universal is made up of all the saved, both living and dead, as we noted in Hebrews 12, 22 through 23. When one dies, when one dies, we are still with Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 1, the first chapter of Philippians. Look at down to verse 21, Philippians 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That's what the apostle felt that when he wrote to the Philippians. He told them, be with Christ, depart and be with Christ, far better, but I need to stay here and do the work that he's given me to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There we are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10. Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep. Now, we're not talking here about, you know, falling asleep in the sense of being tired and going to bed. But whether we live or die, we should live together with him. Death does not affect our membership. Now, what have we seen in the lesson this morning? Well, we have noticed at least 10 things that are true of the Church Universal. The Church Universal is composed of all Christians. The Church consists of all the saved. There is just one. Not many, but just one. And we must be in that church in order to be saved. It's the church that began on the day of Pentecost, the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. It has no earthly organization whatsoever. It is entered only by being added by the Lord. Because it is heavenly in nature and has no earthly organization, it cannot be divided. The Lord keeps the books regarding membership, and death has no effect on it whatsoever. In our next study, we're going to examine what is true of the church local. And in light of what we have seen so far, we do well to ask ourselves, have you been added by the Lord to his church universal? I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2 with me, if you will, please. And in Acts chapter 2, we find the apostles standing before the people and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter is the one whose sermon was recorded here. It is implied or indicated that they all were preaching basically the same thing. But he told those people, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day 3,000 souls were added to them. Now look down at verse 47. "Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." The same is true today. The same is true today. Hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it cuts to the heart as it should, will cause a person to say, "What can I do?" And you know something? The answer is the same as it was in the first century. Same answer and the same results. Same answer and same results. We stand ready to be of assistance to you in any way consistent with God's word. And we hope that you will consider carefully the things that we've talked about this morning and that you will make the necessary steps to bring about your salvation.